I'm going to go ahead and turn the Bible to Genesis chapter 12, and where we'll be at. We're going to do another character. Unless something changes my mind, we'll start next Sunday the book of Ephesians. So I think that's what we're going to do, unless I change my mind between now and tomorrow. But anyway, but we are going to look at one more character, and I was thinking, like, I hadn't preached on Abraham. So we're going to look here, and the title here is Abraham's Advice. And I want to ask you, as we get started here, do you ever feel overwhelmed? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? You know, overwhelmed most commonly means to be overcome with emotion as a result of something as work, stress, or just too much to handle. So let me ask you again, have you or do you ever feel overwhelmed? I believe if we were to answer out loud, we would all give a very hearty yes. Yes, of course we do. I mean, life can be hard. And even if you're saved, life can be hard. I mean, I think that's the one thing, is that there's nothing better than knowing you're on the way to heaven, knowing that you've been forgiven of your sins. But that doesn't mean that when you get saved, that your life becomes a yellow brick road. Of course, really, I don't know why I would say that, because Yellow Brick Road in The Wizard of Oz really wasn't that great, was it, Miss Jean? You know, by the way, I loved The Wizard of Oz as a kid, and I haven't watched it in a while, but I need to, about time. But when we say that, we say a Yellow Brick Road, but it's really not, and, you know, and that's why even when you're talking about salvation, it's good to say it is the best thing that'll happen to you, but that doesn't mean that your life is going to be just, you know, a bed of roses. You know, it's gonna be difficult, and you can attest to that. There are seasons in life that are downright hard, painful, stressful, difficult, not fair. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, when it comes to life, you know, you hate to hear it when your mom tell you that when you were a kid. Well, life's not fair. You know, that's not what you want to hear, but it is true. I mean, let's be honest, it's still, life's not always fair. And a lot of people struggle with that when it comes to God, even Christians at times. I mean, and rightly so. I mean, you know, it's just not fair. Why, you know, one person, something happened to them and not someone else? My only answer I have is because sin is in the world, there's going to be casualties, you know, and that's really, you know, I would never say that in a tough moment to you personally, but that's really what it is. Just, you know, because of sin, there's going to be casualties, and that's really the answer. But we don't know past that. We don't really know why God does what he does and how, but life can be lonely. It can be fearful. This can lead to being overwhelmed. It can leave you discouraged. It can leave you deceived. It can leave you defeated. What are we to do in times like this? What are we to do when we get like this? Well, in times like this, we need advice. And I believe there's one person in the Bible, along with other people, that is qualified to give us advice, and that would be Abraham. Abraham, you say, why Abraham? Well, if you think about Abraham, he was a man who was experienced with overwhelming times. I mean, here's just a few of the potential things that were overwhelming. He had to relocate from his home. He faced famine. You know, we get all in a tin when we run out of toilet paper, you know? I mean, he didn't have any food. There was a drought, you know? I mean, he faced, powerful monarchs, okay, king. Remember, I mean, like, you know, we get upset about our government. Well, I mean, he had to face king, and I mean, I'll say it later, we'll actually allude to it or talk about it. I mean, he lied because he was afraid that he would get killed. He faced family disputes. War. He went to war to rescue Lot. He had family problems. His wife was barren. He dealt with sin. He had sin in his life at times. He had more family dispute between Sarah and Hagar, and Isaac and Ishmael. He lost his spouses at one point. He had to wait on God. He was tested by God. Once again, I'll say Abraham necessarily handled each of these situations with grace and wisdom, but he did continue to follow God. And I think, and I didn't even put it in my sermon, but I think we look at Genesis 22, when Abraham was tested by God to sacrifice his son, I think we see a different Abraham. I think we see a man who wouldn't lie to protect his life. We don't see a man who, I'm going to talk about today, that was discouraged and defeated and all that. I mean, he was a mature man. He didn't learn his lesson. He had wisdom. I mean, even when he went up the mountain, he said, "We're going to come back again, remember?" And he said things like, "God will provide." He learned. I think he a very qualified man who had learned, facing overwhelming time. He won some, he lost some, he did what was right, he did what was wrong. But I think he was a man who learned and grew, and he would be very qualified to give us some advice on how to overcome being overwhelmed. And Abraham was here today, I believe he would give us three pieces of advice on how to overcome three things that overwhelm us. I believe Abraham will tell us how to overcome these three things: discouragement, deception, and defeat. This morning, I want to ask, are you discouraged? Let me ask you another one. Aren't you deceived? And have you been deceived? And I'll get to it. I'm going to say it now, that sin was a good idea, and now you're overwhelmed by the mess it's made. See, sometimes we're overwhelmed simply because of the mess we made. And you got deceived just like Eve did and Adam. Let me ask you, are you defeated? And if you answer yes to any of them questions, Abraham has some advice. Number one, to overcome discouragement, remember God's promises. That's what I want you to understand. And that's really going to be what you need to take home today. Again, to overcome discouragement. And let's be honest, discouragement overwhelms us at times. And what we have to do is we have to remember God's promises. I want to look here and let's kind of build this. Abraham's situation. Now, I'm going to read Acts chapter 7, verse 2 through 5, because it does a good job of condensing Abraham's situation. And it says, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said to him, 'Get thee out of thy country from thy kindred, and come into a land which I have showed thee.' And came out of the land of Chaldean and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed into this land wherein he now dwelt, and gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." Let's pray this morning. Father, I ask for the next few minutes, Lord, to do something that I think is very needed, and that is to be somewhat encouraging. That's not necessarily my strong point. A lot of the Word of God is exhorting us, Lord, but I do know people are here. They are discouraged, Lord, or overwhelmed. And Lord, I ask you to help us to take these practical, biblical principles, Lord, and learn today from Abraham and be somewhat of an encouragement. Although we will have to talk about being deceived, Lord, help, Lord, each person here, if they're dealing with something in their life, if they're overwhelmed, that we can find the answer, which is in the Word of God. Lord, help us to do that. And Lord, thank you for sharing the story of Abraham, Lord, his life. Lord, thank you so much for showing the ups and downs of this godly man, Lord. That alone is very encouraging, Lord, but help us to learn today from it. In Christ's name, amen. So here's the situation. He's got some problems, okay? Like everyone does, he's got some problems. He's been commanded to leave. Abraham has been commanded to leave his family and his country. Now, we know that he leaves and his father goes with him. So he appears in the act that he was given his command when he was in the land of Ur. where he moved when he didn't go exactly where he was supposed to. And then his father died, which is another problem. And his father died, and then in Genesis chapter 12, we see whether it's a reminder or it's the same command. We know that obviously God's going him to continue to move to a new land. And going to a place where he had no inheritance. Okay, I want you to understand, he was being uprooted, okay? I think we read the Bible, and we forget, and we think because of Abraham, that man, it was up in Egypt. But what if God came to you today and said, not going to do that, because that's not how he speaks. He speaks through the word of God. But one thing, I want you to leave Kingsport. I want you to leave all your family behind. That would probably overwhelm you, wouldn't it? It probably would discourage you. Well, that's just one of the things that Abraham has going, I guess, in the wrong direction. When then we get to his family, and Acts does a good job, and the last thing it says there was, and yet he had no child. His wife was barren. Now, even today, that's something that people, is a burden, or not a burden, but something that people who can't have children, it bothers them. And but then it was much greater. It was something, nowadays we have people who, and it's fine that we don't want children. But back then that was something almost a reproach. That was a reproach. Almost in that time. And they were and all these problems, all these things could have easily caused him to be cursed in the middle of this, and you can turn to Genesis if you're there, that will be in chapter 12, we see here, and I'm getting somewhere, so stay with me, okay? In Genesis 12, we see here in the middle of this, after he's left, his father's died, he's in a land that didn't belong to him, and doesn't have any kids. All this, we see in verse 2 of chapter 12, we see that God gives him a promise. And it says this, and you know the promise. Now, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now stay with me. At this point, he had no land to his name. He has a wife that can't bear children, yet we see that Abraham obeyed God and believed his promise. And I believe it is one of the most inspirational verses. You see like a movie, a war movie, and you see the main character who, shot up and keeps walking and keeps fighting. Well, I think verse 4 is that type of verse. Look at verse 4, and it said, and it's really not about the sermon, but I think it's such an inspiration. It says, and so Abraham departed, and the Lord had spoken to him. He left. He did what God said. He believed that promise. I think it's so inspirational, in my opinion. Abraham has faith. Okay, I want you to understand this. But I want you to catch what I'm going to say. Having faith doesn't make you immune to discouragement. I want you to understand that. Having faith in God doesn't mean you're invincible to being discouraged. I want you to know that. And I think so, and I don't think, I think a lot of you are mature believers that would understand that, but if not, if you're discouraged, that's pretty normal, to some degree. Okay, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not immune to discouragement. And we see this in the next thing here, in Abraham's frustration. And you go to chapter 15. We see that God visits him. Now, Abraham has had some ups and downs, but he's been very faithful to God. God has blessed Abraham. And we see here in chapter 15, in verse 1, it says, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Now, you would think at this point that if God spoke to you in a vision, and said, I'm your shield, and you're going to be rewarded. And let's just be honest. You think that what Abraham might would say would be like, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Right? I mean, are we in agreement? Maybe? Possibly? I don't know. I want you to look at his response in verse 2 and 3. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And stood in my house in Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Lo, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, if you start studying, you'll see if Abraham said, well, God, what good is your blessing when I don't have a son? Since you've not given me any child, who will I leave my stuff to? I'll have to leave it to a servant. Wow. I want you to think about what just happened. I mean, God showed up, said some good things, and Abraham responded with, what good is it? I still don't have a child. He's blessed, man. At this point, he's been blessed pretty well. It said in chapter 13, verse 2, and Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and gold. He said, what good is it if I don't have a child to leave it to? And see, what it sounds like that Abraham is discouraged. Abraham is discouraged by not having a son, and Abraham gives full vent to his frustration to God. By the way, we need to talk to God like that. You're going to grow in your relationship with God. I'm not saying get an attitude, but we need to pull out to God. We need to cry to God in prayer. We need to tell Him, hey, I'm frustrated. We need to talk to God like we talk to our best friend, or your sister, or your aunt, or your mom, your dad, like you on the phone. We need to talk to God like that. I don't know why we hold back. God already knows. But anyway, that's a little side note. But now, what I want you to get, how does God handle this? Okay, so let's recap. Abraham's been faithful. God shows up. Abraham says, well, you haven't given me a son. And Abraham is very discouraged, okay? How does he solve this? This is the next letter in God's solution. I want you to get this. Look at verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. What did he do? God reminded Abraham of his promise. In verse 5, we see an illustration. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, and they'll be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall thou seed be. Now, this is not rocket science. But when Abraham was discouraged, God encouraged him by reminding him of his promise. Now, I want to bring something together here, ready? God did not supernaturally at that moment give Abraham a child. Think about that. God's solution to Abraham's discouragement wasn't just to give him what he wanted, although God could have. That's what we understand. God, I want you to think of God at that moment. I mean, Abraham just appeared to be a little punchy lip, Brother Sonny. I mean, God's God, right? He could have said, boom, there you son. He could have solved the problem. He could have removed the mountain that faith can remove. We say it all the time, faith can move mountains. God could have done that. But he didn't do that, did he? I think that's pretty interesting. He didn't. He didn't remove the mountain. He didn't give him at that moment what he wanted. What are you trying to get at? What I'm getting at is that what we see here is the key to overcoming discouragement is to remember God's promises. I mean, that may be something in your life that's discouraging you that's not going to be moved. That's not going to change. So I'm glad that the answer to discouragement, Brother Mark, is not to get what I want. Because I'm not going to get what I want in everything. when I was a kid, I didn't like wearing a hearing aid. Because I've told you before, I love Indians. I want to be a Native American. Okay? And Indians didn't wear hearing aids. I don't want to wear hearing aids. Now it's going to discourage me, but guess what? That wasn't going to change. So how do I overcome that? Well, you're not always going to get what you want in life. And that's what's so great that God didn't give Abraham what he wanted. Because he don't do that for us. The key is not to give him what you want. It is to remember God's promises. God didn't cure Abraham's discouragement by giving what he wanted, but encouraged him by reminding him of his promise and getting him to live in light of that. And not his circumstances. See, that's the problem, and that is very hard to do. We wake up, and we've got to train ourselves. That's what the Bible says, train yourself to godliness, remember? We got to train ourselves, okay, here's my problem, here's God's promise. What am I going to focus on today, and what am I going to live in light of? That's what he's saying. He told Abraham, he didn't do anything, he didn't argue with Abraham. All he said was, I'm going to give you a child. And Abraham was here. And we know how the story ends. And Abraham was here. He would say, y'all, he said, I was discouraged. I was down, and man, I was discouraged, and he would say the discouragement is real. But it would be his advice. He would say, remember God's promises and live in light of them. And you say, yeah, I got up and I lived the life that God is going to give me a son. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to live in light of that. Not, I don't have a son. That's the problem. Now, we can't ignore the problem, but we can't live in light of it. We've got to remember God's promises. And whatever the situation is, there's different promises for different situations. If you're discouraged today, you can overcome it by remembering God's promise. We need to be like Abraham. We don't like Abraham. We focus on the problem instead of the promise. And that's exactly what Abraham did. When God showed up, and the first thing Abraham does is, well, what about my problem, God? And God basically said, what about my promise? What about my promise? I mean, how do I say this? And I'm preaching to myself, and most ain't anyone. We're supposed to live by faith, right? But it's like we don't want to do that. Living by faith. We sing a song. That's what God was telling Abraham. Abraham, live by faith. Have faith in this promise. That's what we have to do. That is the key. I know it's not mind-blowing, but then it's so simple. That's exactly what it is. Focus on God's promises instead of the problem. Man, there's so many verses you can read about God's grace will be sufficient. He promises that he'll never leave you and he'll give you exactly what you need. That there is joy. I mean, I believe that. That God and all that. But we got to remember that. To overcome discouragement, remember God's promises. Number two, to overcome deception, return to God's principles. Okay? Later on, here's the problem. We are subject to temptation. Okay, I want you to understand, we are tempted. Now stay with me, we'll have to bring this together as well. I'll do the first point. Did y'all like the first point? I thought the first point was pretty good. Did it make sense? Okay. Hopefully the second one's gonna make sense too. I think it's very practical. But here's the thing, we are subject to temptation. We are tempted to think this, that sin is a good idea. Okay? We're tempted to think that sin's okay. We're tempted to think that sin is the solution. And basically what I mean by sin is anything that goes against what God says, okay? So whether it's big or small, we're all guilty of this. We're tempted to think that sin is a good idea. And what tempts us is our flesh, the world, and Satan, okay? That's the three sources of temptation. And them three sources of temptation has a target on us. And what happens sometimes, whether big or small, we get deceived. We get tricked just like Eve did. And we give in. and we sin. And we know that sin brings forth death. We know that all sin turns out bad. Today I don't want to dwell on that as much. I have before. We know the conflict of sin can be overwhelming. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Well, that's what sin does sometimes. And overwhelming sometimes to deal with the consequences of sin. Some people, they never talk to me, but you see them, and you just see that your life is a mess. And you don't want to say that, but because of the sinful choices, it's hard to live with. It's overwhelming. Okay? And David painted a clear picture of that in Psalm 51. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness. See, there's a lot of people who are not joyful and not happy or glad because of sin. Sin. That's what it is. And they're overwhelmed. And that's what sin does, okay? So, my point is, one of the reasons that people are so overwhelmed is due to the consequences of being deceived, okay? Deceived and thinking that, and here's the thing, you can be something small like this. Like today, you may be here and even think, well, I'm not involved in any gross sin. I'm glad you're not. But maybe today, and it's what I get involved in, I get deceived into thinking I don't need to walk with God. I get deceived into thinking that it's okay if I don't read my Bible today. It's okay if I don't pray today. It's okay if I don't walk with God. I get deceived in that. And let me tell you, you can do that for 2 or 3 days or a week or two and see how your life is. There is something spiritual, very spiritual, about reading the living Word of God. That's why I'm so passionate about the sign out there and preaching it. Because it is spiritual. It's alive. But we get deceived that just that. We get deceived in thinking that I should worry and be afraid all the time. And it goes on the point in deception is a big factor in so many people being overwhelmed. And it might just be the reason you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're overwhelmed because you decide at some point that I'm going to worry about it. That's what I struggle with this. I think I hide it. But I get anxiety a lot. I start worrying about problems and things like, oh, it ain't going to work out. You know, all that. So, but we get deceived. And we can become overwhelmed. So here's going to be, here's the answer. That's really what matters. What is the answer? Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the verses, but we know that Abraham was deceived. In Genesis chapter 12, you'll see here that there's a famine in the land, and he goes down to Egypt, and he starts thinking that if he goes there, that he's going to get killed and they're going to take his wife. Okay? So then he's partly noble, I guess. So he decides, hey, you know what? We're going to lie. We're going to bend the truth. And we're going to tell them that you're my sister, which was partly true. I think it was half-sister, I think. I can't remember now. He said, we're going to do this. We're going to lie. Now, I guess that could be flattery that he thought his wife was so good looking that he would be killed. I guess you could take it that way. I doubt she took it that way. I don't know. But we know the story that she's taken. God intervenes. And we see that in chapter 12, verse 17. And we know that they're sent away and all that. And we don't know all the aftermath of Abraham's deception. But I would imagine it created some problems in the home. I just imagine. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know that. But what did he do after that? That's what I want you to look at. Look at chapter 13. The king of Egypt sends him on his way. And verse 4 says, and to the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. What did he do? What did he do after he was deceived? What did he do? He returned to God. I don't know if it was wrong for him to go to Egypt. Some people say it was. But I know it's wrong to lie. And not only not lying, what did God promise him? He said, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll protect you. He didn't trust God. He had a lack of faith. Which way? impossible to please God without faith. He didn't have faith in God. But what do we see here? We see that he sought God. He worshipped God. Abraham was deceived. And Abraham probably, and it's just my speculation, has some overwhelming consequences. But what did Abraham do? He returned to God. And here's what I want you to do, my plea to you today. If you have been deceived into thinking that sin was a good idea, and you gave into that, there's no going back and changing it, okay? There's no, you can't change it. But you can be restored. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe David, yeah, he had some problems, and I believe that he had joy again. You have to do this. You have to return to God. You have to go back and make the Word of God your God. You have to quit following your emotions, just your deception of the world, or whatever it is, your thought, your logic. You have to follow the Word of God. That is truly the light of your life. That's the, I don't want to preach on sin like today. I need hopefully be more encouraging. But the problem with some people, and they're overwhelmed because they're walking in the dark. Even saved people, they're not taking the Word of God, and they're not letting, and what happens so many times, if we stumble, we fall, we get deceived like Adam and Eve did, but then, and it is tough, you have to lay in the bed you made, that can be tough, but then they never say, okay, I'm going to get the Word of God, and I'm going to start living by it. They start looking for some type of quick fix. There is no quick fix. There's the Word of God, and it will definitely keep you safe, and it will guide you, but that's what you have to do. And if you're overcome with deception, you have to return to God's principle. That's what Abraham did. I'm telling you, Abraham, you know, you read in Genesis 22 or 21 now, I can't remember which, you see Abraham, he was a man that didn't get deceived. He learned his lesson, and he returned to God. That's what you have to do. Yeah, you shouldn't have left God's word, but don't make it work by continuing to run in the same direction that got you in the measure in. That's what's so frustrating, is that what got you in the measure in, if you did something, is you didn't follow the word of God. Yet, make it worse, compound it by not getting back to the Word of God. That's just so frustrating. Yeah, you made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Yeah, some mistakes are worse than others. And so, I mean, it is what it is. You know, God didn't like it. Ask God to forgive you. You know, there's going to be some consequences, but don't continue to run from God. I mean, Abraham could have said, well, I lied, I messed up. Let me go make another bad decision now. No, he went back to God. That's what we need to do. Whether it's something big, whether it's something small. To overcome discouragement, remember God's promises. To overcome deception, return to God's principle. And then number three and finally, to overcome defeat, rely on God's power. Here's little A, and got the attitude. We'll go to chapter 17 now. In chapter 17, verse 1 through 16, I'm not going to read them verses because I don't want to read them, and you probably don't want to listen to me read. You know, I don't understand people who will read 20 and 30 verses. I don't like that. They're just standing up. You ever had that, Mr. In my old church, we used to stand up. We would stand up to read the scripture, which I'm not saying that's bad. But then it was like 40 verses. I didn't like that. And then sometimes they will preach half their sermon standing up. You know what I mean? Like, let me sit down. Anyway, so we're not going to preach. I'm not going to read 16 verses. But what is happening here is God goes in great detail about the promise of a child, okay? Now, and I think right now, you know, roughly Sarah's like 90 and he's 100, I think, or somewhere in there. He goes into great detail. Once again, you think Abraham would get excited, right? You think Brother Mark that he'd be charged up, right? He's a man of God. He's a godly man. No. I love this. I love that God is real. The Bible is real. I can't stand that. I can't stand people who like to fake things and pretend. Like, no, just because we're Christian don't mean everything's perfect. Don't mean we have the right attitude. And Abraham, I don't know if he was had a bad attitude, but he wasn't too happy. He said, what do you mean? Look at verse 17. He didn't say amen, praise God. He said, and Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son, and indeed thou shalt call his name Isaac. So what's the point? The point, it appears that when it comes to this promise, Abraham has lost hope. He's lost hope. I mean, he's done. I mean, he's done. I mean, he always said, well, Ishmael, he'll be the son. He'll be the one to take up. I mean, he's sitting there, he's thinking like we do. How is this going to work? There's no solution. Now, I might as well start thinking of a backup plan, which I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but that's where Abraham's at. I mean, he's not discouraged. He defeated. I mean, he's trying to solve his way. He's waited. He's been faithful. Now he is completely defeated. And guess what? His wife feels the same way. Genesis 18, verse 11 says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old also? What does this describe? They were defeated. They were at their wit's end. They were obviously at a time and an age when they weren't supposed to be able to have children. And by the way, that's what God wants a lot of. He wants to show you that he has the power. He wants us to be that. He wants us to be not this, not defeated, but he wants to get to the point where we say, it's God that's going to do this. And that's not always fun. That's not fun. It's not fun. I mean, that's like, it's not fun having to completely rely on God. We should, but it's not always fun. And this is what chapter 21, verse 1 and 2 said. And let it be the answer. Here's the answer to all of this. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he had spoken. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. Let me say, what do we see? What do we see? God's power. God's power. In a time when they didn't have medical advancements. In a time when they couldn't go, I don't know what to call it, I guess fertility clinic, maybe, I don't know. When there was no medicine they could subscribe to help Sarah be able to have a child. I mean, there was no hope. And on top of that, she was too old to have a child. But what do we see? What was the answer to defeat? God's power. God's power. That's it. And I don't really have anything else to say, but I'll say it like this. If Abraham was here to give us some advice, And he was defeated, and he could see that, I think he would take you, and he would say this, I know. He would say, I know it looks bad. I know it looks hopeless. I know that you don't see no end in sight. I know. He would say this, but let me tell you about the power of God. What he was saying. I think he would share this story with much more detail and than any preacher could say. And I think that he would say God's power, it will show up and it will show out. That's what he would say. I don't think he would give you all the ins and outs like I want to on how that works necessarily and how it's going to happen. I don't think he would look and say, look, I think he was like, what about this? I think all he was like, stop. God's power will show up. I don't even know what he was saying. I think he would put his hand on your back, and he would smile and smile confident, and say, and with a certain look in his eyes, and he would say, it's gonna be okay, because God is powerful. And I believe that he would believe that so much that you would believe it. And you would walk out of here a little less defeated, because you know that the power of God is real. I think we forgot that. I know I have. I think that's the thing. I think we walk out and we would leave a lie of the promise. We wouldn't be so concerned about the problem, that we would know, hey, God got this. That's the difference between, I think, a saved person's perspective and an unsaved person. When there is no hope, when you don't, and well, again, we should do what we can, obviously. I think that's when we say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what's to sell. I don't know what tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. I love that hymn. Many things about tomorrow I may not know or understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I love that, so I sing it for my wife sometimes. I'm not saying, she doesn't like my singing, I mean, we. But I'll just belt it out, but it's so true. He knows, I think that's the thing, is that we know that God, a powerful God, is figuratively speaking, holding our hand. But the reason we live with defeat is that we don't rely on that. Once again, I'm saying, we're Americans, we're self-made men. None of us are self-made. Well, all of us is because of what God done. And it's great for us to want to stand on our own 2 feet. It's great that we want to not be be a bum. That's all good. And there's a place for that. And there's verses that would say, don't be lazy and all that. But at the same time, God is powerful. And he sometimes is the only thing you can do. Rely on his power. Abraham will say this. He said, God will see you through. Oh, I mean, he would talk about the mistake, and he would say, don't do that, and you need to trust God, and you need to obey God. But at the end of that, he also says, look, said, God will see you through. And I think we see that type of man on the mountain when he's sacrificing his son. I think that's the type of man we see. Here's the thing, that's the type of men and women we need to be. That's what's going to help us overcome defeat, is when we know how powerful, that's exactly what he told. I mean, he knew, he said, we're coming back. He knew God was powerful. That's why I don't think he was sweating bullet when he was walking up that mountain to sacrifice his son, because he knew God was all-powerful. He knew God had that. He knew God was going to see him through. He knew God was going to see him through. He didn't know how. He trusted in God's way and God's power. That's what we have to do. When defeated, we need to rely and that's another word for it, we need to trust in God's power. What do you do? I believe that'll change the attitude we have when we wake up the next morning. If we go to bed and say, you know, I'm going to trust God's power. Not in government policies, not in, anything, just the lack of problem in your own life, not your own philosophy and wisdom, but say, I'm going to trust in the power of God. That's what's going to get you up the next day. That's what's going to keep you going when you can't go. It's these 3 things, if we conclude, and when we're overwhelmed, basically here it is, if you kind of catch it, when overwhelmed, run to God. When discouraged, remember his promises. Man, just think about how tomorrow, and I have to tell myself this, how much better my day will be, how much better I'll handle my problems when I know every day I'm going to do what I can, I'm going to ask God to help me, God's going to see me through, and he promises that. When deceived, and this is important because we don't want to skip this, sometimes we make a mess of things, return to his principles. And when defeated, rely on God's power. That's the 3 things I believe that will help us overcome being overwhelmed. And we stand to our feet with our hands bowed and eyes closed as the piano players come up to play just a song of invitation to give you an opportunity to reflect. And, and to move. I don't know where you're at today. Like I said, I'm looking forward to preaching today. I always look forward, but I do enjoy preaching something more encouraging. Something that will help us get through. And I think it was needed. I've enjoyed these characters because I believe there's so many things that I wouldn't have preached on that I did that was needed. Some was in a negative sense, I guess. myself in a positive when I know today you may be dealing with being overwhelmed. Not even just one of them. Maybe you're discouraged today. Maybe you know, and that's something that I'm trying to even, as I, you know, as you build a sermon, it preaches to you, and I even told myself, I need to live by faith more. I need to realize that God has promised to take care of me. I have to remember that. Maybe it's just that. Maybe today you have made some mistakes, and you have made a mess of your life, you know, or maybe, but here's the thing. The best thing you can do is to return to God and follow the word. Maybe that's what it is. You can't change, like, here's the thing. You can't change what happened. Kind of like Paul said, I reach forward, forgetting those things which are behind me. As we deal with sin, and we've done what we can, and we've talked to God about it, then turn around and reach forward. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. Maybe you need to realize, hey, I need to get back on track. Maybe you're defeated. Maybe you need to remember. Maybe you need to, maybe this week you need to go through the Bible and look up verses that say God is all powerful. I don't know what it is, but that day begin to pray. And God spoke to you. Hey, praise your seat. Come to the altar. You know, in truth, I'll be honest, we have lived in some overwhelming times. You know, they have been some things. But even personally, I know all every one of you has something that you're dealing with that's overwhelming. Hey, I want you to understand that God does want to help you, and God will help you.